America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. I can't remember a time in America when there was so much discussion about a bridge that had not fallen down as there was this week about the George Washington Bridge over the Hudson River from New Jersey into New York, the world's busiest bridge, which got busy this week in the scandal business. Actually, it goes all the way back to last fall, and the scandal surrounds Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. Now, were this to take place in any other metropolis in America where the major media news organizations are not headquartered, it would be a local story at best. But because Fort Lee leads into New York City, where they all have their offices and studios, and also because Chris Christie is considered a leading contender for the presidential race in 2016. Yes, I know we have three more years before that. I'm not going to start handicapping the race here. But because of all that, it is a story with national implications. And so I've asked Dr. Mark Feldstein to join me and talk about it here. He's a journalism professor and scandal culture expert at the University of Maryland. Mark, welcome to America Weekend.
Good to be here, Paul.
First question I have for you is, since when does the endorsement of a small city mayor make anybody vote for anybody else?
Well, that's a question obviously Christie's aide should have asked themselves, because the answer is never.
Never. So why were they so concerned with this? Why were they so angry with this guy in Fort Lee that they would do what they did?
Well, a psychiatrist might be able to answer that better than me, but politically speaking, Christie was trying to roll up the vote to make it as, you know, lopsided as possible to fuel his presidential ambitions, and, you know, his staff was acting presumably with that motive.
Yeah. Awfully petty, and I know, as I mentioned, you're a scandal culture expert. Can you put this in perspective for me with other political scandals of the past?
Well, sure. I mean, retribution is common in politics and in political life, and it goes back to the beginning of the Republic. And, you know, Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson were planting dirt about each other's sex lives in the opposition newspapers. But they generally did two things that Christie's people didn't do with this. One is they managed to keep their fingerprints off it at the time, so that they didn't get blamed. And two, they went for the jugular. They didn't do anything as tiny and petty and small as this. So this fails on both counts, the morality and the intelligence quotients.
Yeah, you mentioned revenge. In our lifetimes, I suppose Richard Nixon would be the king of presidential revenge.
Well, that's right. I wrote a book about him and the press, and you know, he had, you know, he and his White House compiled enemies lists where they you know, targeted people for tax audits, retaliated against the Washington Post by trying to pull the FCC, challenge the FCC license of its TV stations. The journalist I wrote about, Jack Anderson, muckraking columnist, Nixon hated even more, and engaged in accusing him falsely of being gay, which at the time, of course, was a horrible black mark considered by most of society to ruin his career. And even White House aides even plotted to assassinate him. So compared to that, this bridge closure thing is pretty minor.
But all the things things you just mentioned were personal. They were particularly aimed at one person, at destroying that one person. I'm not sure, and I still don't understand. Well, the two things I don't understand. One, the endorsement question I asked you before, and the other one, how does closing the lanes on the bridge hurt the mayor of Fort Lee?
Well, you know, that's the other great stupidity of this, is that, you know, all these other, you know, retribution, political retribution in the past were indeed just targeted to, you know, the person that was giving him a problem. And that's what's so, you know, foolish as well as immoral about the lane closures, is it's punishing the public. So, you know, that becomes absolute poison if it ever gets known. And it did get known. And then, to, you know, put the stuff in emails and text messages. I mean, if there's one thing presidents have learned since Nixon, it's don't tape record yourself. Don't, you know, don't leave evidence. And so they failed on all those counts.
Although, as of today, as far as we know, there is no smoking gun that's at least one that's been revealed, that says, okay, Governor Christie, I'll do exactly what you said about the traffic in Fort Lee.
Well, that's right. And you know what? Had there been no tape recordings, there would have been no proof that Nixon himself did it. It would have been his word against the main aide who accused him, John Dean. And probably, you know, nobody would have believed his aide, who would have admitted a felon against the President of the United States. So you're right. In terms of Christie, you know, no evidence of that has emerged. If an aide does claim that, true or false, I don't know whether it's provable, but that alone, the accusation, would probably be enough to put a big damper on his presidential hopes.
Yeah, yeah. We keep talking about Nixon because, of course, he was the big one of this in the 20th century. Or was he? Were there others in the 20th century who went the retribution route that same way?
Well, yes, but we know less about them because they didn't tape record themselves doing it.
Yeah.
Kennedy, Johnson, you know, when they controlled the tapes, they controlled the on-off switch. Nixon's was voice activated, so it recorded everything. But the Kennedys were famous, you know, for their revenge. The Clintons, the Bushes, you know, these political dynasties survived for a reason. And then, of course, there are lots of local ones like Huey Long or James Michael Curley, Jimmy Walker, who certainly engaged in that kind of stuff, but they, you know, didn't put it in writing.
All right, let's talk hypothetical here for just a moment, Mark. Let's say that there is no further information that comes forward that says, yes, Governor Christie ordered me to do this, or that he said, hey, you know, it would be a great idea, let's go after that SOB in Fort Lee, or anything that directly links him. He's going to walk away from this unscathed, or is he going to carry this through the next 3 years?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it could go either way. I mean, certainly not unscathed. The question is, does he turn that weakness into a strength? Again, the way Richard Nixon did, say, with his Checkers speech, which converted a slush fund scandal into people feeling sorry for him. You know, even if what you say is true and nothing emerges further to implicate him in the wrongdoing itself, he's got to answer for hiring these people as his top aides.
Yeah.
The culture that he allowed to exist as the leader, and he's got to replace, you know, key staff. Now, if he does all that and he weathers that, and he does it well, and he maybe even turns himself a little bit into a victim, the way Nixon did, then that could actually turn a weakness into a strength. But everything's got to fall just right, and he's got to play everything just right. And in a way, this is his first, you know, real audition for a primetime presidential race in 2016. I mean, Sandy Hurricane was a much greater disaster, and he, you know, managed to turn that into a plus. And so we'll see if he can do it here.
Yeah, nobody could blame him for Hurricane Sandy, though. I think there are a lot of people who were stuck in traffic for 4 days on that bridge who will always blame him and his administration, as you say. You know, they'll blame him because he hired the people who said they were going to pull this off. And, of course, but he does have that reputation, whereas Nixon famously said, I am not a crook. Governor Christie this week had to say, I am not a bully.
Well, that's absolutely right. This is a self-inflicted wound, as opposed to one from nature. And there will be people who always hold it against him. And, you know, Nixon was a very polarizing figure. And even though he turned the slush fund scandal into something that cemented his relationship with the base in the Republican Party, it permanently, you know, alienated a bunch of liberals. And he's, you know, Christie is going to have his permanent bunch of detractors who do view him as a bully. And part of the reason this has got such legs is because it plays to type. It plays to this image that he'd already established of being a bully. You know, if this happened to Jimmy Carter, it wouldn't resonate the same way because people don't think of Carter as a bully.
Mark Feldstein, a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland and the guy who literally wrote the book on scandal culture, at least when it came to Washington and Richard Nixon and Jack Anderson. That book is called Poisoning the Press. Mark, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend. We're on the air every Saturday and Sunday on the Envision Radio Networks. You can also find podcasts of previous shows by going to our website, AmericaWeekend.com.
America Weekend.